Hey there. Before we jump into the video, I just wanted to take a second to talk about age restriction. We talk a lot about social problems on this channel, and we don't pull any punches when it comes to discussing genocide, fascism, or police brutality. Because of this, YouTube age restricts a lot of our videos. If you'd like to get around the age restriction and help support the channel while you're at it, you can find all our videos on Patreon and Means TV. I've left links to both in the description, and both are great ways to help support principled socialist content. Means TV is home to some of the best documentaries and original series around. And becoming a patron on Patreon gets you early access to every video, plus access to the Second Thought Discord server. So if you want to watch all our age-restricted content without giving YouTube your information, check out the Patreon or Means TV. I hope you enjoy this week's episode.
There are issues around the safety culture in Boeing.
Multiple reports.
Fatal flaw.
Explosive.
Quality and manufacturing flaws on Boeing planes.
All right, speed run of the past few months. Boeing, the world's largest aerospace company, has had some problems with their commercial jets. You'd think that the airplane people would know how to make functional airplanes, but whatever, chalk it up to the odds. You make enough planes, some of them are gonna be lemons. And by lemons, I mean fall apart and or blow up. So Boeing is having a little PR trouble. The problems have become so widespread that people have even coined the phrase, "If it's Boeing, I ain't going." Not a great look for them. But that was only the beginning of their trouble. On January 5th, 2024, the door blew off a 737 MAX 9 operated by Alaska Airlines. There weren't any human casualties, thankfully, but the rogue door did claim the lives of a t-shirt, two cell phones, and a teddy bear. The plane had to make an emergency landing, and the FAA decided to ground nearly 200 more 737s for safety. On January 16th, an anonymous whistleblower and Boeing employee told the Seattle Times that this incident was Boeing's fault. The reason the door blew off was stated in black and white in their own records, and that the event, quote, speaks volumes about the quality culture at certain portions of the business. Now Boeing had a real problem. Someone inside the company had grown a conscience and was starting to air the company's dirty laundry. Unfortunately for them, the crisis only continued to deepen. On March 3rd, a 737 MAX 8 veered off the runway when its landing gear failed. The following day, an FAA audit determined that Boeing had repeatedly failed to comply with manufacturing quality control requirements. Then on March 6th, the head of the National Transportation Security Board, or NTSB, accused Boeing of not cooperating with their investigation into the January door incident, apparently failing to provide the names of people who worked on the door plugs at the suspect facility. That very same day, a 737 engine caught fire mid-flight, forcing an emergency landing in Florida. 4 days later, a wheel fell off a 777, crushing cars below. Things just kept getting worse and worse for Boeing. And then, on March 9th, John Barnett, a former quality control manager and Boeing employee of 32 years, was found dead in his truck just days after testifying against the company. The cause of the death was apparently suicide, with one gunshot wound to the head. Barnett's testimony was not the first time he'd made trouble for Boeing. He had repeatedly raised concerns to his superiors while he was QC manager, all of which were ignored. Then in January 2024, he appeared on TMZ to explain that Boeing was likely cutting corners on the 737s, since they were put back into service too soon to have actually been fixed. With Barnett dead, there wouldn't be any further stories about quality control. How convenient. Unfortunately, the fact that planes kept falling apart speaks for itself. On March 11th, a 777 was forced to land after it started spewing hydraulic fluid. On the 15th, a 737 was grounded because it was somehow missing a panel. On the 20th, a 737-900 had to make an emergency landing after an engine blew out on takeoff. And on and on. Then, on April 10th, a second whistleblower came forward. Sam Salapour, a Boeing engineer, testified and accused the company of taking shortcuts when assembling the 777 and 787 Dreamliners. He claimed that the jets had fatal flaws and could come apart in midair, and that all of them should be grounded. Now, don't worry, I'm not gonna ramp up the conspiracy and tell you that Salapour also ended up dead. That would be too on the nose. On April 30th, a different whistleblower ended up dead. Joshua Dean, a former employee for Spirit AeroSystems, a key Boeing supplier, had been one of the first to sound the alarm about quality control issues on the 737 MAX jets. He testified in a lawsuit against the company, revealing their negligence, and was subsequently fired. During an interview in January, he said that employees were pressured not to report defects in order to get the planes out the door faster. Dean, 45, died of a sudden and severe staph infection. His family reports that he was healthy and active, and that the sudden death came as a complete shock. So that's two whistleblowers in 3 months. Both after testifying and giving interviews about Boeing's culture of negligence and cost-cutting. It could be a coincidence, two data points is hardly conclusive, but that timing is pretty weird. And now, a whole lot more people are coming forward and sharing stories that corroborate all the accusations. One of them is Dean's former co-worker Santiago Paredes, who's hesitant to fully endorse the rumors surrounding the deaths, but said in an interview, quote, "I'm not saying that I'm scared, but at the same time, I can't turn a blind eye to the reality of what could be. I have to prepare myself for that." All right, so let's get this out in the open. A lot of people are pretty convinced that what we're seeing is a massive corporation assassinating whistleblowers. That's a big deal. It's also sparked a long overdue conversation about extrajudicial killings by corporations and the state. Flip through any history book and you'll find thousands of examples of corporate-sanctioned murder. Fruit companies, rubber companies, energy companies, they've all at one point or another paid either local thugs or corporate militias to eliminate people causing trouble for the company. And heck, that's just the crime of murder. We're not even looking at the literal slave labor that we saw in Nazi Germany, or still see, in modern US prisons. And the reason this is so important to talk about isn't just because of a few sketchy deaths. There's a bigger picture here. Something that affects all of us. It's not a conspiracy theory, it's not some secret truth, it's just the cold reality of our capitalist system. But we'll get to that in a bit. First, we need to talk about some modern examples of corporate and state silencing. A lot of these instances we've cited so far are pretty old. The reason for that is simple. It's a lot harder to assassinate people and get away with it these days. There was no Twitter or Telegram back when United Fruit was butchering people in Latin America. No one was gonna cause a fuss. Today, if a single whistleblower dies or has to flee the country, the whole world knows about it pretty quickly. Two whistleblowers, and you're really pushing your luck. Even if you've got a near monopoly on commercial jets and you have the state in your pocket because you produce their war machines. But back on track, modern examples. While it's hard to give definitive examples, obviously no company or government official is gonna be like, "Yeah, that was me, I had that guy killed," we can look at the results of whistleblowing and see a very clear trend.
We have secret interpretations of the law. What does the law mean if there's secret interpretations in secret courts? We have Bradley Manning's trial.
Perhaps the most common example is Julian Assange, the Australian activist and brains behind WikiLeaks, a publisher of leaked documents. Assange revealed all sorts of human rights abuses and government crimes over the years. But what landed him in hot water was when he tried to do the same thing to the US. One video, commonly referred to as collateral murder, shows incontrovertible proof of a US helicopter crew firing on Iraqi civilians, killing around a dozen people, including two journalists. What does Assange get for his bravery? The most powerful country on Earth hunting him across the globe, threatening him with decades in prison for showing the world the dirty truth about the US military. The guy had to beg for political asylum at London's Ecuadorian embassy, where he stayed for 7 years while the US tried to extradite him, surviving on fast food in a converted office. In April of 2019, he was arrested by the British police and thrown in prison, where he remains to this day. He's kept in his cell 23 hours a day, and only allowed 1 hour of supervised indoor recreation. Upon inspecting Assange's condition, Niels Meltzer, the UN Special Rapporteur on Torture and Other Cruel, Inhuman, or Degrading Treatment or Punishment, concluded that, quote, "In addition to physical ailments, Mr. Assange showed all symptoms typical for prolonged exposure to psychological torture, including extreme stress, chronic anxiety, and intense psychological trauma." That was all the way back in 2019. Nothing has changed. At time of writing, Assange has just been granted the right to appeal the US's latest demand of extradition. This back and forth will likely last the rest of his life. Julian Assange will waste away in prison because he told the truth about the United States. And this is a fairly common occurrence. There's also Edward Snowden, who revealed the horrific scope of NSA spying on American citizens, and Chelsea Manning, the former Army intelligence analyst who leaked military documents to WikiLeaks. Snowden had to flee the country, and Manning was facing 35 years of solitary confinement in a maximum security prison before Obama decided he needed a PR win and commuted her sentence to just 7 years in solitary. And this is where we need to expand the conversation a bit. Why are whistleblowers punished? Because they reveal things about those in power that make those people or corporations look bad. Whistleblowers aren't arrested or murdered because they're lying, but because they're telling the truth. And that truth threatens the status quo. The story has been the same all throughout American history. MLK was a radical preacher who condemned racism and worked to achieve equal rights for black Americans. The ruling class begrudgingly tolerated that. But as soon as Dr. King started talking about the evils of militarism and capitalism, he wound up dead. Malcolm X, Dr. King's more confrontational contemporary, suffered the same fate. As did Fred Hampton, chairman of the Black Panthers, who correctly identified that fascism was the most critical threat to overcome, and worked to organize food programs for hungry kids and political education for black Americans. Every civil rights figure of the era who also identified imperialism and capitalism as the root cause of the world's problems got assassinated. Talk all you want, but do anything to materially threaten capital, and it's game over. And this hasn't stopped. Six activists mysteriously died after the Ferguson protest against police violence. Hundreds of anti-capitalist Black Lives Matter activists were tracked down and arrested on bogus charges in the aftermath of the George Floyd protests. In each case, from MLK to the Boeing whistleblowers to college kids protesting genocide, the crime was directly organizing against the state and against capital. And if there's any lingering confusion, let me be completely clear. In the US, capital is the state. We have elected officials, but they're bought and paid for by immensely powerful lobbies. Oil and gas, the military-industrial complex, the Israel lobby. So when you see Boeing whistleblowers dropping like flies, regardless of whether there was foul play involved, and you see the government not really doing anything to force the company to fix the problems these whistleblowers exposed, now you know why. There's a joke that the US isn't a country, it's three corporations in a trench coat. That's pretty accurate. Over the years, the inherent logic of capitalism has concentrated more and more power in fewer and fewer hands. Every major news channel is owned by one of just five companies. Amazon has completely destroyed mom-and-pop shops. Our grocery store shelves are stocked with what looks like thousands of different options, but if you read the back of the box, you'll find that all of our food is produced by just 10 companies. Cutthroat competition always naturally ends with a winner. That winner then wields enormous wealth and power. And without rules to prevent the mingling of corporations and the state, these mega-wealthy companies lobby, a polite way of saying bribe, our elected officials to pass legislation that makes it even easier to maintain their monopolies. Boeing is a massive, massive company, with its fingers in both commercial air travel, already an enormous market, but also the military-industrial complex, an even more enormous market. They can drop a briefcase of money on a few critical desks in the government, and suddenly planes literally blowing up in midair isn't a big deal. And that's not corruption, that's just American businesses exercising their right to free speech. Here's what we want. We'd appreciate it if you listened to our concerns. By the way, I accidentally dropped some money into your account. And that brings us to the point of free speech for the rest of us. In the United States, we supposedly have the right to freedom of expression. People often use this term too broadly. For example, if you're a student and you get detention for distributing flyers saying Mr. Smith is a doo-doo head, you can't lean on your right to free speech there. What the First Amendment protects against is the ability of Congress to restrict the press or the right of individuals to speak freely, especially on political matters. An easy way to remember it is, if the government is involved, that speech is supposedly protected. If your speech is not about the government, it's less clear. The First Amendment sets limits only on the relationship between the US government and its people. On paper, you're allowed to refuse to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, you're allowed to burn the flag, say we're run by oligarchs, criticize the president, all that stuff. We all on the same page? Now, here's the part where I need you to stick with me for a second, because this may sound strange at first, but it'll make sense, I promise. This ability to grant freedoms, such as the right to criticize the government, is what marks a truly powerful state. A state with absolute control. Nations that crack down on everything, they're weak. They're not in control of their people. A country like the United States, which is guilty of the most hideous crimes in history, which is in fact run by oligarchs, which routinely overthrows democratically elected heads of state and installs puppet dictators, knows that none of these things matter. Since the end of World War II, the US has been the uncontested economic and cultural hegemon. It is the sole world superpower, at least for now. American movies grace theaters around the globe. American designer brands are coveted by all. American politics affect the entire world. And what is the myth that the US sells? That Americans are the freest people on earth. That here you can be anything you want with just a little hard work. That we are a bastion of democracy, the shining city on a hill. And while that's obviously not the case, it would be much more obviously not the case if we didn't have these nominal rights like the right to freedom of expression. I get that comment all the time. Well, if it's so bad here, how come you're allowed to say all this stuff? Because that is power. The US government knows that a YouTube channel like mine is no real threat. I may help funnel people into socialist organizations, but I don't have any real power to upset the status quo. And so critical speech like mine is allowed up until the point where people start to act on it. Colleges across the country have classes on the evils of imperialism and fascism and police violence. And that's all fine until the students decide to actually organize and do something about those evils. Then they're on the receiving end of the imperialism and the fascism and the police violence. Anyway, the bottom line is this. The problem of people being imprisoned, brutalized by police, or literally assassinated for the crime of telling the truth is bigger than one aerospace company. The United States is the most powerful country on Earth, and it's manufactured consent for all its crimes by selling the myth that it's better than the alternatives. Because at least here we can protest and push for change. Except, we can't. Complain online? Sure, fine. Bring the receipts. Show videos of US war crimes, expose the criminal negligence of a massive corporation, threaten the capitalist status quo, then you're in trouble. And the worst part is, we all know this is happening. When people like Jeffrey Epstein get killed because they have dirt on some powerful people, we all laugh and wink and say, oh yeah, he totally didn't get assassinated. We know what's going on there. We all know about COINTELPRO and Mockingbird, the CIA operations to surveil and propagandize American citizens and undermine civil rights movements. We know all about the horrific and shady things our government gets up to. We make movies and books and video games about all these things. We commodify the very things we're afraid to admit exist in real life. It's the same story with the Boeing whistleblowers. People are making jokes online because they feel like it's obvious what's going on, but there's nothing we can do about it. What can normal people do in the face of a country that has sold itself as a benevolent utopia when we all see what's happening? But no one can stop it. The Boeing saga is still unfolding, and we'll likely never know the truth about these suspicious deaths. This is shaping up to be just the latest in a long series of stories of normal people daring to speak up, to tell the truth even when it's dangerous. People like Assange, Snowden, Manning, MLK, Malcolm X, Fred Hampton, people like John Barnett and Joshua Dean. They may be household names today, but when they chose to stand up for what they knew was right, they were just regular people like you and me. People with a conscience who had the bravery to say, enough is enough. And a world that treats these people as criminals simply for telling the truth is a world that desperately needs a reboot.